Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Concierge Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Jenny is still out of the country this week doing her summer vacation. So we wish her well. She'll be back here in a week or two. And she'll get to catch up with it at that time. But today, we have a special with us. I always like bringing people on the show that are from the LA area or in the LA area, which is always nice. And also guests that assist others with their goals, and in this particular instance, a guest helps others with their, I would think, vocational goals. And we have Holly Moss with us. So, Holly, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and really like what you do and how you do it. So kind of tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your journey and how you got to the present day with your business and all that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I own a small business here in Los Angeles called The Niche Nest, and the business officially started in 2016, but the idea started forming back in 2010. And I just moved to Los Angeles, and I'm sure we all remember it was a rough economy, and you know, the job market was very sparse. And I had been connected with a woman who at the time was called the Job Whisperer. And she was very gracious and sat down with me probably an hour or two and completely redid my resume and explained how it was supposed to work. And within 2 months, I had landed a job. And so I kept at my day job, but then would help others on the side. It was something I really enjoyed doing, and would use my connections to connect them to opportunities that I thought might be good for them. And then in 2016, I took a little time off from a production company that I had been with for several years and continued to still do the resume stuff, the LinkedIn, the cover letters, the interview tips and tricks. And I thought, maybe I should be getting paid for this. So I filed for my business license and have been chipping away at it and building ever since. So it's really focusing on anybody who is looking to enter the job search, the job market, whether they're looking to make a transition, re-enter after they've been gone, or simply just brush up on what they have to offer in case an opportunity arises.
Okay. So how do you handle that when somebody, you know, they've had a child or two and comes back into the workforce or comes back from prison or something, you know, they've been out.
Right.
What are some of the things that you can do to that you do to help bridge that gap with some of that?
Right. Well, the great thing is that everybody has something of value to offer. Everybody has a skill. Everybody has something that is special or niche about them. And the other great thing is that there are jobs out there. So it's really finding maybe what they have done previously, what they're passionate about, how they've been practicing those tasks that they're passionate about during their time away. And then formulating it in a way that the gaps make sense. What have we been doing during the gap? How has the time during the gap actually enhanced the skills for the jobs that they're looking for? And it's not always easy, but I think that when you create a really great candidate story and you have the skills going into an interview, that you have a leg up, even if you feel like perhaps you're at a slight disadvantage, you aren't as much as you think.
Okay, so even if there is a gap in service or a gap in the resume, you can kind of, with the narrative, with the story, with the person's story, kind of dovetail things that they've been doing that are relevant to their situation now, they're getting an opportunity or whatever now, and then you can kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to encourage people to, even when they're having these gaps, maybe they have to take time off, maybe they've taken some time to raise a child or have needed some time to spend with family or just needed a little break, to continue to network and to be social and connect people. And, you know, taking time off to raise a child or something like that. Yes, it's a 24/7 job, but you're still managing to do other things as well. And what are those other activities? Are you organizing fundraisers at your child's school? Are you active in your church? Are you a mom blogger? On and on. You know, there's always something that you're doing that you can use to your advantage when you decide to reenter.
Okay. And do you talk about that in those elements? Do you talk about that more in the cover letter? Does that get kind of alluded to in the resume as well a little bit?
I would say for somebody that is re-entering the job course after a little break, I would put it in both. I think a cover letter especially would be helpful for somebody who is looking to re-enter the job market after a gap, to just explain and take people on the same journey that you've just been on, and then have it all tie in together of why you're both there and why it would be mutually beneficial.
Okay. I think that happens a lot. I know that in my practice, you know, 2008, 2009, and then finally in 2010, when the economy started to get a little bit better, I was doing a lot of vocational testing and assessment, and, you know, with middle-aged folks that, you know, from 40s to 60s, to see, okay, what is it that you can do now, you know, that we can plug you into, just because the economy was pretty bad at that point. Now things have, you know, come back amazingly here, in Texas anyway, right? And I don't want to say there's more jobs than people now, but it's certainly a high tide for that now. And so people are having to be nimble and pivot a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
You might not be able to get your dream job, but you can get something and then angle that in toward, you know, more toward a dream situation as time goes on. So, of the three, so you have the cover letter, resume piece, the job interview piece, and the LinkedIn piece, which of those aspects is the most challenging, you think, for you working with your clients?
Well,
I know that
they're all different, and they're all the same, and they all lend themselves to each other. I would say maybe the resume, because it's the foundation. You know, from the resume is where you're going to build out your cover letter and your LinkedIn. Once you have a solid resume, that's really first step to entering the job market, applying, giving you a shot at getting hired. So I would say that's the most challenging, to make it the most compelling and convincing and eye-catching. And then from there, you can build out pretty much anything.
Okay. Right. I would tend to agree with that, that the resume kind of, like you said, it's the start, right? And then all the other things from there, you can kind of build in from there. So, I think that's good. Let's talk a little bit about the the job interview. Talk a little bit about what you've done with some of your clients with the job interview piece of things.
Yeah. Well, anybody going into a job interview, there are definitely some do's and don'ts that you're going to want to consider and prepare for. I would say the biggest do is do your homework. Know the company really well. Know when they were founded. Know who their key players are. Know their mission statement. Know the people that are interviewing you. Go on LinkedIn and, you know, see what their history is. Do you have any common connections? Go on Glassdoor and read the reviews. So just really know your audience, because the interviewer is your audience whenever you're going into to meet them. So I would say that would be the biggest do of an interview. Dress the part, you know, if you're going to be going in for a manager of a store at the mall versus, you know, going into interview with a corporate office downtown, that look is probably going to be different. So dress the part, but dress the part nicely. And I would also say, you know, be positive. Super, super important to always be positive, even if you're not feeling positive about the questions that you're being asked. So, you know, maybe it took you 2 hours to get to the interview and they ask, how was the drive over? Oh, it was so scenic. I took the scenic route. It was just beautiful. You know, always being able to find like the glass half full in any situation, because that's what people are looking for these days. They're not looking for somebody to be upset when they're being given a shot.
That's true. That's a good point. Now, do you do this live or do you do most of this like over the phone or Skype calls or most of the time?
I would say both. A lot of times my clients that I work with, you know, we'll do a consultation where we're going to break down all their experience and the value that they bring and how to share their story in a way that's inspiring and compelling to hire them. And then I take them through their resume once it's complete and ready to submit. And then we go through some of those questions. So, and as they're telling me their story, if there are things that might need to be adjusted, we go over that and then explain also the why. You know, we don't often want to do something just because we're told. We want to know why we're doing it. So we can do that over the phone. If someone's local, we can do it in person. But it usually comes after the resume is done and before they're heading in.
Okay. Well, good. I'm looking, let's go back to the resume. And I know that did some stuff on mine. And, you know, with some of these kind of pseudo academic resumes, part of it is the publications and presentations. Or let me do this here. Hold on. Goodness, something's going on outside here. I say now it's calmed down. The publications and presentations sometimes are part of the resume, but you're saying that sometimes that's a supplemental page is needed, or you do a link where that stuff might be on the internet somewhere.
Well, I think for somebody like you, because you have so much experience in so many different backgrounds, there is definitely a need for multiple resumes depending on who you're sending it to. I would say that depending on how long it is, the publications could be sent as a separate supplemental page to those people that need to see it, and they could be made as hyperlinks so that people can just click right from their email or their computer or wherever they're looking from. And it's all about what kind of resume you're submitting. Yeah. So if those need to be included, of course include them, but if it's something where people wouldn't necessarily know why they're looking at it, I would say have it as a supplemental and send if needed.
Right. I also liked on the academic honors, you know, where you said, hey, I just kind of chunked them together, you know, the mm-hmm. fellowship I did in honor society, two honor societies and a dean's list, but just attaching those inside the education. So that's,
yeah,
that's,
it's mm-hmm. a good way to pair which honors goes with which institution. And it's another great way to kind of cut a section out that might take up space that could be used for something else.
Yep. Yep. I can definitely see that, you know, as a younger person, I want those all to stick out, boom, 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 right together. But now as a little bit more mature person, I can see, you know, just kind of dovetail it in with each station in life that I earned that particular affiliation or association. So,
right.
So on top of the resume, sometimes the person's address is pretty, it can be a quandary, right? They don't want to use their personal address per se, but they don't want to necessarily use their work address if they're trying to get the hell out of the job that they're in. So what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on including an address on your resume, I have two thoughts. One is, if you are a business owner, as you are, I think it's okay to add an office address and let people know where you're located. It's very easily accessible online anyway. It's not something that is hidden anywhere. So I think that's totally okay. I really discourage anybody who is applying on the internet, who is not a business owner, to not include their own personal address for safety reasons. Really, once you hit send on an email or you apply on LinkedIn, you really don't know who's taking that. And even when you get hired and you're submitting your paperwork, really the only people that see addresses are like HR. So I would say leave it off if possible. And then the other thing is, depending on your neighborhood and who is viewing the resume, if they think that you're too far, they may not call you in. So, for example, I live in a little beach community here in Los Angeles, but when I submit resumes anywhere, I say Los Angeles because I want to be given the opportunity to meet face-to-face and not be discounted if somebody thinks I'm too far away.
That's a good point. So do you have people that will just put like an email and put greater Los Angeles area, or, you know?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, make it really easy for people to have a general idea of where you are and how to contact you. So you'll want to put, you know, if you're in Dallas, you'll put Dallas. Or if you're here in Los Angeles, I wouldn't put Santa Monica, I would put Los Angeles. And then I would use a professional email, not a Hotmail or something weird or something that you got as your first email address when you were 13. And then your mobile number. And that way it's easy for people to find you and connect.
Okay. That's good. Now, part of the resume underneath the person and their contact information, I have a little professional overview before we get into the professional experience. How do you feel about having that section there, and and what might that professional overview consist of in a perfect world? I know mine was kind of all over the place, right? I talked about what I'd done with mm-hmm. the Justice Department, and then what I've done with counseling and workplace types of issues, and actually bled over into some memberships that I have. So I definitely bit way more off than I could chew on that professional overview. So, good point there. Are there kind of some bullets that, some foundation points of that professional overview?
Yeah, I think, there was a lot of good stuff in that professional overview.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Lots of experience. I would say, in general, I don't include professional overviews in my clients' resumes unless there's a specific reason to. They can definitely be valuable. I think they can be valuable if you have, you know, decades of experience like you do, and you want to kind of sum that up so that people can see it right at the top, and they don't have to, you know, go through two pages of a resume to, you know, do the math. I think that can be valuable. I think if you are just starting out in the job market, let's say you're just reentering, or perhaps you just graduated college, I think it's a good way to showcase what you've been doing and what you're excited about. But overall, if you have a full page of experience, and, you know, let's say you've got 10 years, I think a lot of that can be either summed up in a cover letter or your LinkedIn. But, it, you know, it also comes down to a personal preference. So my personal preference is usually to leave them off unless there's a specific reason to. And if you're going to include it, just like anything else that you're trying to convey, it should be who you are, what you did, how you did it, who you did it for, and why is it important, and was it successful?
Okay. Now, instead of the, if it's somebody who is, let's say, new to the work, would, instead of saying professional overview, would it be some sort of, it used to be like career objective or objective or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just, you know, recent graduate with a degree in this, active in these particular clubs, interested in X.
Right. Right.
Just a little personality. I think, you know, you can't get experience until you get experience. So some of the ways that you can get people to give you a chance is by showing a little personality and what you're excited to bring to the table. So in that, I would say a career objective is fine if you're in that position where you've recently graduated.
Right, right. Okay. So you can kind of, you know, showcase that. So basically just be honest. I mean, don't overdo per se, just really be honest with what you have and just convey it in such a way that makes it as full as possible. Is that kind of a fair?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if somebody is just getting into the workforce, it's, you know, you can't fudge 10 years of experience if you're only 18 or, you know, 20 or whatever it may be. So, just be honest and excited and articulate and eager.
Cool. Now with the LinkedIn profiles, what are some of the biggest mistakes you're seeing with people in their LinkedIn profiles, or what's the biggest mistake that people might unwittingly getting themselves into with LinkedIn?
Right. Well, LinkedIn is such an awesome tool, but it can definitely, it can trip some people up. Really, the LinkedIn on the most basic of levels should echo your resume, and then it should provide extra. So some of the things that I've seen when I've had people submit the resumes to me when I've been in a hiring position is I'll look at their resume. Okay, this looks great. I'll find them on LinkedIn, and their experience won't match, or their dates won't match, or they'll have a not so professional photo. So it's, I think, because LinkedIn in some ways is still much newer than a traditional resume, people don't always give it the weight and the credit that it requires, but it's definitely a heavily utilized tool by employers and hiring managers, so it deserves equal attention. I would also say having a great bio that's clear and concise is really important. So just to recap what you've got going on and what you bring.
Right.
One that doesn't have a bio kind of, you know, leaves you wanting a little bit.
Right. And that could even be some of the elements that might be in a cover letter, might be in that summary that's below. You're right. I have a contract with a major major financial services in, you know, industry provider mm-hmm. as partners and principals and directors, level executives that are, you know, really doing some fairly or very serious things in their respective marketplaces. And we'll go to their LinkedIn and man, just nothing's there. You know what I mean? And it's like, ooh, you know, this isn't good. If you're out there selling, let's say selling, and some of these are anywhere from $500,000 to $30-40 million, you know, projects where it could be anything, consulting, audit, you know, tax work, et cetera, from, right. a, you know, business services. So these folks that are, would be customers or clients of these folks, you know, go back and look at the LinkedIn of the people from that client services firm, you know, like, wait a minute, man, there's nothing here. Guy hasn't done anything right. since he left college. And so I think, I think that's the mistake that, you know, some people, and maybe it's just the older ones, you know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, just LinkedIn wasn't that big of a deal. And I put something out there just so people can find me and you know, where I work. But right. I always challenge my coaching clients to have, you know, at least a good solid LinkedIn appearance with where they're at and, you know, what they do and, you know, what they did during the succession of their careers, you know.
Right.
So anyway, and that was interesting, you know, because I even looked at mine like that, like, you know, as a federal executive and then working inside penitentiaries and then doing an internship at a penitentiary to, you know, going to graduate school and then the different positions I had, you know, of, you know, as decreasing responsibility. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I echo what you say where you, you know, you'll see those higher up executives that only have, you know, a line or two or a little blurb on their LinkedIn. My recommendation for that would be if you're not going to have them, that's totally okay. Not everybody wants to be found on LinkedIn. But then if you are going to have it, then, you know, maintain it and have it
yeah.
be representative of who you are today, not just so that somebody can kind of maybe possibly sort of find you, you know?
Right. Right. No, if you're going to do it, then do it correctly or just don't do it at all. And yeah, you're just not on there. Well, you know, for many people, they need to be on there for various reasons. You know what I mean? They just need to yeah. do it. They might not be. It's funny to me because, you know, I remember on one of the feedback things, oh yeah, put this on a cover letter. I'm like, man, dude. Anyway, I was just thinking about myself. Like, I am not sending a cover letter again if I can help it. You know what I mean? But, but you know, I just, it's cute because I'll get, oh, you've been looked at by these people. And I'm like, man, dude, I'm not looking for squat. You know what I mean? I'm not looking for anything. And kind of, I don't necessarily convey that, you know, I'd more convey what I do and how to get in touch with me and all this other stuff, but certainly not hitting the pavement looking for something. So I think it's kind of funny how a lot of it is predicated on people looking for opportunities, you know,
right.
And then, gosh, I find that it's almost turning like Facebook, you know, people are hyping themselves a little bit too much or, you know, just now we got birthday wishes and then we got anniversary. Such and so has been at their job. Congratulate this schmo because they've been at their job for 5 years today. It's like, oh boy, here we go, you know? So
well,
I know
that's a long time.
Yeah, no. I just another data point, you know, like to refer to. And then the other thing about LinkedIn, this isn't about what you do. This is just me ranting. But, I'll sit there and I'll make it. I'll sit there on my phone and I guess I'll let some of these bozos, you know, I'll connect with them. Hey, I noticed that we're connections and it's been a couple of days. I haven't heard from you yet. Let me tell you what I could do for your business. Like, oh, my God, you know. And I have to just kind of go back and it's like, just because we're connections, you know, it's like, It's like the worst DM ever, you know? So, so well, anyway,
you know,
what are your thoughts on all that?
You can't get a response if you don't ever send a message. So I think it's always a nice thing to put yourself out there and see what might come back.
True.
I would say, I think polite persistence is always the route to go. And also, with regards to reaching out to people, it should never be, even though you're doing it for yourself, it always has to be done in a tone of what you can do for somebody else to make their existence or their search or whatever it may be easier. So if you're going to reach out to somebody that you don't know, you need to know how you found them, what they do, how you might be able to help, and, you know, just really, really concise. And if you don't hear back from them, you know, you get like a little read receipt on LinkedIn. If they've read it and they haven't responded, you could always follow up maybe in a 2-week period. And if they don't respond after that, I would say probably just let it lie.
Okay. What are your thoughts about publishing articles or having, you know, posting certain types of pictures of the person engaged in some sort of professional endeavor? And what are your thoughts on that for LinkedIn?
Well, I think it's great. I think the more that you are engaging on LinkedIn, the better, as long as it is well curated and there's a point. You know, like we were saying on the most basic of levels, LinkedIn is meant to echo your resume and your experience so that people can really easily see, yep, it all matches up. This is who I thought it was, so on and so forth. But then in addition to that, more activity so that people can see what you're interested in, what you care about, what you're engaged in is great. So whether it's posting an article that's relevant to your industry or your interests, I think that's great. It also shows support for the people that are posting. Sometimes there's some great advice in the things that you post, or there's information that might be helpful to others. So that's always great to educate or enhance the community. The other things that you can do to enhance your LinkedIn are things like write people recommendations and ask people to write them for you.
Oh, I think that's right. The endorsement, right? Or
well,
yes.
Recommendation.
Recommendation. Yes.
Oh yeah. There's all sorts of stuff that you can do to promote. And it's also good to promote others. You know, people helping people is a really good thing. And it shows that you give help as much as you're wishing to receive it. So write a recommendation for somebody and, you know, endorse their skill sets that you know that they have and share the articles that they have written or think are interesting. All of that will only loop back to you and draw more attention to the experience and the skill set that you could bring.
Right, right. No, I think there are some ways to definitely bring that, like you said, well curated, you know, types of material and ways to bring that experience to you and other employers or talent scouts or whomever can see that and act on it. I know we didn't talk about this, but have you started to use either Facebook or Instagram with folks looking? I know it depends on what they do, obviously. If they had like a product, like a widget or something, obviously Instagram might be a good go. Have you done anything with anybody who'd use those platforms yet?
I haven't explored that as much as I probably will in the coming months, so I don't want to speak too much to something that I'm not really well versed in.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot of tools out there to be utilized.
Yeah, there is, and I never thought. I'm looking at our Instagram now, man. I tell you what, we got 41 likes on your picture. I got to put your picture up on my page more often. The Instagram page, far and wide, it was doing better than the Facebook post, and I have a good 2,000 more on Facebook. You know, so man, pound for pound, you know, the Instagram, you know, really did its job for today's show, it seemingly. So yeah, I think, you know, there's, and people are just so visual, you know what I mean? That's the whole point with all these social media platforms, and mm-hmm. and they just, you can attach, you can attach something. I remember we had somebody on the show, and they posted a picture of their parents that had their degrees on the wall in the kitchen or something, and they talked, you know, and it was, and it got like a million likes.
Aww,
on LinkedIn. I mean, just all of a sudden, you know, yeah. And boy, you know, they hit, you know, they hit a good nerve, you know, with people. And that went viral, and it got that person an inordinate amount of fantastic attention for the endeavor that they were on. But I really took notice of that. I'm like, wow, you know, and I actually looked at the post and saw some of the metrics and thought, wow, you know, what a game changer, because this person had to spend like 30 minutes a day just responding to inbox, you know, stuff mm-hmm. about the picture. So, you know, that is somewhat of a lottery win, you know, to get something, particularly on LinkedIn, at that large of a viral level. So again, it just shows, you know, the power of social media and what LinkedIn can really do for people. So, well, that is good. So I know you don't have your rates on your website. It looks like that tab isn't quite going. How do you do your engagements? Is it by hour? Is it by package? Tell us a little bit about your pricing structure.
It's in general, it's by the hour. If somebody reaches out and is interested in the service, basically what I have them do is send me what they have existing and then just share a little bit of what it is that they like about it, what it is that they don't like about it, and what they're targeting. And based on that, I'll estimate an amount of hours, submit a price. If they, based on the number of hours, and then if they are interested, we proceed and we start with a consultation and we get going. And then if they're not, that's okay too. And, you know, but once I give a quote based on the number of hours, which by this point I have that pretty well down, the price of course doesn't change. So.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I know that, that you highlight that it's a woman owned business, which is, obviously the truth. is that kind of there because you think there'll be a lot of women that are seeking? Now, that's right. Talk about, aren't you a member? You're a member of something there in Los Angeles, right? Of like an organization or some sort of a collective?
Yes.
Talk, if you don't mind, talk about that.
Of course. Well, part of the reason that, you know, it states right on there that it's a woman-owned business is because I think that women have an easier time sometimes relating to other women. And there's just an understanding, I think, sometimes of what women are looking for. And I think that I have been able to help a lot of them find their voice. So it kind of started out being a little bit more female focused, especially in the climate that we're in now. I think it's good to promote that and be proud and collaborate and so on and so forth. But there's also a lot of male clients as well who need help and are just as talented as could be and need their stories curated as well. But originally, when I was looking to find my audience, there is a really fantastic group on Facebook that's Los Angeles-based. It's called the Professional Women's Job Board, which is a subgroup of another larger organization on Facebook. And it's all about job posts. So these recruiters or women that need to hire talent can post a job and it has to be paid. The job description has to be there. There's no freebies. And then this group of, 12,000 women know what might be available. And because it's a part of a community that they're a part of, might give them a leg up or an advantage where they otherwise might not have one.
Ah, so for that person to post on there, they got to pay to post.
No. It's a free organization, and you can post whatever job that you are needing to hire for. But the great thing about it is that every position that is posted on this Facebook page has to be a paid position. So it can't.
Oh, I see. Nobody. The position has to be paid. Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah. Nobody can basically be looking for free labor.
So yeah, exactly.
You'll always be finding paid jobs, which is really great.
Okay. That's good. So, so you've had clients that you've worked with that put their stuff on there and found employment, and also you had an impressive statistic, right? That you've really helped a high percentage of the folks.
Yeah. A lot of my clients have come from this group. They'll post and say, I need some resume help, and other people that have maybe used my services previously will tag me on there or, call out my name, and then we'll connect. And that's how a lot of people have come to find out about the Niche Nest. And then as far as statistics go, so far we have a really great track record. Every employee, or every client, I should say, that has used our service has found a job within 2 months. If they don't find something in 2 months, it's because they really aren't actively looking. So, they just wanted it to be redone. So, but anybody that's actively looking has in general found something very quickly.
Now, I am kind of off the cuff here, but I know somebody right now down here who's looking, but it's more of a, it's almost like a C-suite position. So would you expect somebody in a C-suite level executive thing, would that be a little bit longer? Or you're thinking, no, man, we can get even that level of job going pretty quickly? Or is this for just kind of the entry to mid-level positions?
Well, I think it depends on what it is that they're going for and who they're targeting and how long they've already been looking and how aggressively they want to find something.
Okay.
I think regardless of the level that you're coming in at, having somebody revamp and repurpose is going to still get you something faster than not.
Yes. Yes. So remind me after the show or whatever. I do want at least to make the referral, and I got somebody for you. And I went through this person's resume, and I really slashed and dashed because it was, oh, you thought mine was long. This person, man, was like, it was a dissertation. It was like 10 pages. Like, no, don't do that. I mean, I knew enough not to do that. I mean, it wasn't 10, but I think it was a good 5, man. And it's like, okay, that's just too much information. That'll be that. It's interesting, because even the dynamics, you say a woman-owned business. That's what I should do on my site, a man-owned business. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think that would help. But a man-owned, a boutique. Bruce Cameron, a boutique practice, man-owned, not eligible for any 501c3 credits or anything. Anyway, but I know, right? Just go with a straight S corporation and just move on. I know you'd put that in there in the word boutique prayer. I like that. And now in your resume samples, you have some before and after samples of, what you've done. So this is on your website. We'll talk about that in a second on the program manager, the freelance producer.
And okay, and good, good, good. And you talk about the resume, the LinkedIn, and you can do custom packages. So that's awesome. And you have some client testimonials. And I think it's pretty genius that it's in this small font, because I'm really having to kind of put my glasses on. I don't know if it was intentional or I just have a bad browser, but it's making me like really, you know, focus on what you're saying and what you're doing. That's genius. I never thought. So, okay. And, not that we're going to give a shout out to Squared Space, but that was, you know, is that kind of powered through your financial piece, or is that just its own kind of a hosting, internet hosting thing like Wix or whatever? Your website, or do you remember?
So, I mean, the website is just hosted through Squarespace because they have such a user friendly. Such user-friendly abilities and great templates. So it was just a good match for a small business.
Yeah, no, I think, yes, no, I agree. So yeah, I agree. I mean, I have a WordPress site and actually that is so damn confusing. It looks good, but yeah, so many different things and plugins and whatever. Just, yeah, no, that was a clean site and, really good to pay attention to it. So I'll be good for our folks to do that. So let's go ahead and run through. I just got under 4 minutes left. So Holly, how can our listeners connect with you? You got several junction points. So how would you like them to be able to connect with you?
Yes, I would love to connect with any of them. And I can be reached through my website, which is www.thenichenest.com. People can find me on Facebook, The Niche Nest, or they can also find me on Instagram at The Niche Nest. And I'm responsive to all platforms.
Yes, you are. I know that, you know, I'd ran across you fairly serendipitously and we started communicating and you were very, Johnny or Jane on the spot, very, you know, returning in a timely manner, and appreciate you did some good feedback on a quick turnaround this last 24 hours. So that was really nice. It was really good to see, you know, how you broke it down. It's a Google Docs thing, and you have your comments out to the side, real friendly and makes sense, very clear, cogent feedback, and I really appreciate that because I think. I work with a lot of hot-headed editors in the past. Well, just do this and just do that. Why? Because you suck. Like, okay. You know.
No.
Not really. It's like, okay. Because I'm the artist and you are just do what I say. Like, okay. No, but I really like how you really took the time to explain your comment off to the side, and that's really good. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of get to be the participant observer on some of the things, and just enjoyed your feedback on the LinkedIn page as well. And I kind of wish, you know, it my situation's always the man off to the side here, where I'm running three scripts instead of one. You know what I mean on that, and that's where it gets a little confusing sometimes on a LinkedIn page, but the radio show has its own respective pages and the coaching has its respective pages, so it's good. Yeah.
We're gonna work it out, we're gonna get it all straightened out, it's all
coming together and working out. So yeah, folks, remember The Niche Nest. You got to spell it TheNicheNest, so thenichenest.com. And the fact that you put the in there is just so cool, because then my Google Chrome can remember the, because not too many URL, you know, sites have a the. So it's like, oh, shit. You're right. It's like, oh my God, how do you spell niche? Yeah, so.
very niche.
That's right. So I'm glad for that, and so great. Well, good. There it is. I mean that's a wrap. So, you know, Holly, thanks for coming on the show today, man. You did a great job and really kind of explaining what you do. I think what you do is vital. I think you're one of the unsung heroes, you know, in the coaching or assistive space, you know, and you're a real low key person and your approach and that's good, man. Client comes first and I think you're going to do really well with your business, and I wish you all the success in the world, you know. So,
well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on as a guest, and hopefully we'll be able to talk more in the future. And thank you for all the encouragement and everything that you do.
Absolutely. We'll get you a few more test subjects. And, man, if you can help some of these folks out, man, we'll have to bring you back on the show and you'll share these victories. Hey, you got these people hooked up, which is I think everybody likes to hear about a win and a good victory. So, all right, folks, well, that's it. And remember to check us out on the LA Talk Radio page. Our shows are archived under the Concierge Coaches Show. Also on iTunes. Yes, folks, we are on iTunes. You don't have to pay. We have paid it forward for you. You can go in and listen to all our shows on iTunes, Concierge Coaches Show, and also come visit us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, there for anybody that wants to reach me. My page is conciergecoach.net. So, or just Google me and somewhere I'll come up. So, again, have a great week, everybody. And thanks for listening to the show. And we'll see you next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.